When I was preparing this week's message, which I started doing a couple of weeks ago, this hymn just kept resounding in my spirit. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. And as I was focusing my study in preparation for today's message, I just began to realize how precious that song really is. And as you grow older, and as you are related to people who are getting weaker and older, this beautiful hymn, I believe, becomes even more dear and precious. I will also tell you that, like so many, this particular hymn was not in any Lutheran hymnal. And so I was 35 years old before I ever heard this particular hymn. I'll never forget where I heard it. It was on a Sunday afternoon, somewhere in the middle of July, 1972. And I, along with virtually all the pastors in the area, were dragged into the Billy Graham Crusade meeting at Cleveland's Waterfront Stadium. And long before Billy Graham got up to speak, Cliff Barrows introduced a singer whom I'd never heard or seen or knew anything about. She looked a little overweight to me, and she looked a little bit elderly, not feeble, but elderly. And I thought, I wonder who this is. So Cliff Barrows introduced her as the one and only Ethel Waters. Her life story is a story that each of us who call the name of Jesus our Lord and Savior ought to be familiar with. It is a testimony of supreme, unbelievable rescue. And from a nightclub stage pop singer to a profound servant of the Lord Jesus and singer of gospel songs, Ethel Waters literally covered the nation with the Graham Crusade teams and singing all these beautiful songs, of which this was the first one of hers that I've ever heard. Our congregation soon adopted this hymn. It wasn't in our hymnal, but we were printing the words in the bulletin for hymns that didn't make it into the certified hymnal. And whenever we sang this hymn, there would always be at least one person who would say to me, I cannot sing that hymn without tears coming to my eyes. That's a real powerful song of worship. Well, today I am going to attempt to bring to you a message that has been rolling around in my spirit for many days. I can't tell you exactly how it all began. I'm not sure. I suppose it began because of my daily watch and attendance to Miss Judith, and day after day after day, watching her go through all that she's gone through and what has been taking place, and just being alone, profoundly alone for so long, and finding great, great solace and comfort in just spending more and more time with the Lord, because he's the only one that's there. I began to recall some scripture and some reading that I had done on walking into the presence of Almighty God. And I don't know about you, but that's not a subject or a theme that for many years, never, and even recently, not frequently, crosses my mind. We know the Lord is with us. The Bible tells us so. We know the Lord hears our prayers. We know the Lord answers prayer. And we know that he answers prayer in his own way and in his own time. But to actually be able to explain to someone else how I know that I know that I know that the Lord is present with me. That is, I believe, a real challenge in maturity and constancy of fellowship with Christ. I was assisted in this preparation by a beautiful book. And the title of the book is called The Power of Presence. The Power of Presence. Of course, speaking about His presence in our lives, written by Neil Anderson. Now, who in the world is Neil Anderson? Well, I had no idea who he was. But after having been given a couple of his books, writings by Heidi, I began to learn quite a bit about who Neil Anderson is. He was a world-renowned writer, author, pastor, conference speaker, filmmaker, and on and on and on and on is his list of unimaginable credentials. And then an event happened which radically changed his life. His wife of 33 years came about suddenly with Alzheimer's. And it got to the point to where she didn't even recognize him as he would go to visit her in the care facility. As he prayed and mourned and dealt with the shock of this, the Lord made it clear to Neil that he was to abandon all of his work and all of his ministry. Now, it's one thing when you're 65, 70 years old, maybe 80, and you've run the course, you're on your retirement schedule, to say, well, okay, I'll give this all up. But when you're in mid-age and at the zenith of what might be called the Christian ministry world, that's quite a challenge. But as he prayed and sought the Lord, he realized that this is what he was to do. So from a schedule of at least 5 days a week, world travel, conferences, all of this, he literally abandoned everything and sat for hours each day with his wife, who did not recognize him, but she was always attentive and grateful, he knew, for her, for his presence, although she didn't exactly know all about their marriage or their family or their children. She knew when he came that he was the one, the only one, that would be able to minister to her. And it was at that point in his life, having laid down everything, that he began to understand in a way that he had never understood before what it was to walk and to live in the daily presence of the Lord Jesus. And so this book is a treatise. It's a testimony of his lessons in abiding, love that word, abiding, in the presence of Almighty God. It's had a profound effect upon my life since I read it first. Now I've read it again. I'm going to reread it because each time I read it, I discover more truths, more realities in which I can walk and live as well. I would like, if we wanted to do so, to get a copy of this book for every one of you. It may not be something that you relish or cherish immediately, but I promise you that there, if it isn't now, there will come a time in your life when you will want to know more about what it is to live daily in the presence of Almighty God. Well, that's the introduction. Now, I'm concerned as I just examine my own life and I look at just the lives of people I listen to. I try to listen carefully. Try to listen how much of our conversation, how much of our talk to one another has any spiritual content to it at all? How much of the Lord are we speaking with one another about, or just talking to ourselves? I don't know about you. I talk to myself all the time, but lately I've realized, especially since reading this book, that I'm less talking to myself and more having many, 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 many frequent just conversations. I think the danger of saying, let us pray, prayer, is that right away people think about shutting their eyes, bowing their heads, folding their hands, and whatever. I don't think that's what prayer is. I really don't believe. I think prayer is simply talking to my Father. And I don't need all the fancy words. I don't need a prayer book. I don't need an appointed time before meal, before bedtime, in the church service. I guess I've been doing this for a long time. I just talk to the Lord all the time. And I can't say that I've been doing this thinking that I'm in his presence. That hasn't really occurred to me. I just know that he listens because he says so. He hears because he said so. And he answers prayer because he said so. And so if he's my best friend, I really, 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 really appreciate being able to talk to him, especially in the middle of the night when there's nothing happening, nothing going on. It's especially meaningful. I think probably many of us, I know I have for years, have gone through life when there's a situation that seems a little beyond our ability, we cry out to the Lord, we talk to the Lord. If it's a friend, a neighbor, a family member, cry out to the Lord, talk to the Lord. But coming to a point where you enter into a season in your life where you have absolutely no control over the events of the day or the results thereof, who do you turn to? Who do you really, really turn to when all the talk, all the chatter, all the chit-chat that goes on doesn't even come close to hitting the mark? I found an instance in Scripture, well, it wasn't lost, but I found it this week, that really touched my heart, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. The Bible is filled with many, many people who came to these points in their lives where they realized how alone they might be, how vulnerable and weak they might be, and how desperate they might be for strength, for insight, for wisdom, for companionship, fellowship, strength. So here we go. Classic example is Moses, the abandoned one who was retrieved of all people by the Pharaoh's daughter. How amazing. The abandoned child landing in the palace of the Pharaoh. But as the Lord worked with him, twisted him, molded him, shaped him, turned him, and ultimately declared that he was the one who was going to lead the Lord's people out of slavery, bondage, and all that represented, he finally said to Moses in chapter 33 of Exodus, this is what he said, this is the Lord speaking now. Exodus 33, verse 14, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, this is Moses speaking now, Moses speaking, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, Father, if you're not going with us, just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all of the people who are upon the face of the earth. I never thought about that before. Did you? Did you ever think about the fact that the Lord's people are unique and separate from all the people on the face of the earth? I think we often look at our identity or our uniqueness in terms of our family name, our fortune, our talents, gifts, abilities, achievements. But our identity, according to Scripture, is not about any of that. Our identity is that we, of all the people on the face of the earth, have been made unique. So the Lord said to Moses, verse 17, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, if you got your own Bible with you today, I ought to draw a line under that. He said, the Lord said, I know you by name. You see, today we're becoming numbers. We're becoming statistics on somebody's sheet. We're becoming customers or potential whatevers. But the Lord declares to every individual who's ever drawn a breath, I know you by name. I pray that little Wilhelmina grows up to discover that the Lord God Almighty knows her by her given name. And he said, now this is the boldness of Moses. He's getting on with this now. And he said, that's Moses said, please show me your glory. Well, I've got to confess, that's a prayer I've never prayed. I never asked the Lord to show me his glory. I know he's glorious. The Bible declares that he is. I know that his glory is undiminishable. I know that his glory is unlike any glory anywhere in the universe. But I have never personally, and maybe you haven't either, asked the Lord to show you his glory. Now look at the Lord's answer. So verse 19, the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Then this promise, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So we're promised the grace and compassion of the Lord. However, there's a but in there. Verse 20, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Wow. That's really powerful. Now we have seen Jesus, his face. We have heard the Holy Spirit and his visitation. And Father God said, you shall not see my face and live. But look how the Lord resolves this situation. Verse 21, and the Lord said, I love this. Here is a place by my side. Now, I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures of the tens of thousands of people that are trying and have tried to get out of Afghanistan. Tens of thousands. Now they're suffering from hunger and disease, starvation, and many are dying just from those causes. If you've seen the hundreds of thousands coming from all over the southern area into the United States, the border crossings. I wonder how those people ever deal with reality or sleep at night. But here is a word. The Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So the Lord is saying to each one of you today, wherever you are, whoever you're with, you're alone, you're with 10,000 people, you're in a foreign city, doesn't make any difference. Makes no difference. You're never alone. Never, ever, ever alone. Because if you belong to Jesus, if you're the Father's child, you belong to the Father. And as the Father said to Moses, so he says to you and to me today, there is a place beside me. You don't have to get in line. You don't have to wait for hours. You don't have to have a passport, a clearance, or a COVID vaccination. There is a place by the King for you and for me. But there's more. There is a place by the Father. But amazingly, there is a fixture on which to stand called the rock. And who is the rock? Jesus. So stand by the Father. Stand strong upon the rock. And you are in the presence of Almighty God. So it shall be, verse 22, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. What a place to dwell. Safely, securely, peacefully, dwelling in the cleft of the rock. Not a penthouse, not a motel, not a tent in the sandy desert, but a cleft in the rock who is Jesus. Some of the Old Testament folk would maybe say this a little differently. They might say, dwelling in the bosom of Abraham. Dwelling in the bosom of the Father. I don't know how you can get any more present than that, dwelling in the cleft of the rock. Then there's more. There's still more. 23. Then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Boy, I thought about that a lot this week. How do you see the back? What are you looking at? But I sensed that what the Lord was saying, that I will pass by and you won't behold me face to face, but my shadow will fall upon you. My shadow will fall upon you. And that's where the Holy Spirit kicks in. Because as we stand on the rock who is Jesus, by the side of Father God, the Holy Spirit passes by and is as the shadow of the Almighty God. There's more to this message that I want to bring you, but it will wait till next Sunday. I pray that in some way or fashion, the Holy Spirit will take this message and next Sunday's message and speak not to your brain, but to your very, very, very innermost heart of hearts. One final word. I brought a second book. I had to look long, long and hard for this because it's up there in one of those 1,200 books and it's tiny. And I had a dickens of a time finding it, but the Lord showed me finally where it was. Other than the Bible itself, the printing of the Bible, it has been said that since 1666, that's a few years ago, since 1666, other than the scriptures, this is the most published book ever written. What's that book about? Oh, it's called The Practice of the Presence of God by none other than the very, very humble monk and cook in the monastery kitchen who's known as Brother Lawrence. That's all he's known by. And this is a book that consists of four conversations and about 14 little letters that he wrote to various people, all answering the question, how is it that you can say that you are as much in the presence of the Lord in the rattling noise of the pots and pans in your kitchen as you are kneeling at the altar at the sacrament? That's the life and testimony of Brother Lawrence. You could read this book easily in 2 hours. I would also like to order this book for each and every. This is one of the Christian classics, as it's called. And it would be a tremendous blessing to you and those you pass it on to, because I believe we're in an hour of history where there's going to be a line, a demarcation drawn between those who find peace, rest, security, and joy in the presence of the Lord and those who do not. So I believe this is one crucial message for this hour. Next Sunday, we'll speak a little further on practicing the presence of the Lord in your life and mine. Let us pray. Holy Father, with great, great joy, I pray, expectation, we'll enter into a time this week and next of seeking more and more to understand and to move into a greater degree of walking, dwelling, living in your presence, which you have said will go with us wherever we go. Thank you, O Lord, for your precious word. I bless you today in Jesus' name, and bless these, your dear people, as well. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the precious fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name, the people said,